O God, you make us glad with the yearly remembrance of the birth of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us that as we joyfully receive him as our Redeemer, we may with sure confidence behold him when he comes to be our judge. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light.
Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given.
And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God.
Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end.
On the throne of David and over his kingdom.
To establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore.
The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
First lesson comes from Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Oh.
And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this night is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written in the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
Thank you.
beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world. And the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace to you in peace on this Christmas Eve. It might be one of those preacher stories, an urban legend too good to examine. It even came to my attention with a picture. But in these Photoshop days, picture proof isn't quite as solid. But whatever its source, a story is told of a department store window in Kyoto, Japan, roughly in the 1950s. Japan being quite an insular society, the idea of the Christmas holiday came to it through the GIs stationed there after the war. And in this particular window, amidst the tastefully arranged merchandise, was a life-sized, jolly fat man in red. But this particular Santa was not just white of beard and covered in soot. This particular Santa was nailed to a cross. There, in all of its grotesquerie and cultural mistranslation, was the received picture of the season, the secular and the sacred jumbled together. Christmas has something to do with the Christ, whose symbol was the cross. But Christmas also had something to do with the red cheeks of an elf overgrown, and it had something to do with acquiring the goods in the window. The designer of that window in Japan didn't intend to make a commentary on society, but the window, to which Japanese might simply have been gaijin and foreign celebrations, to a Western, a Santa on a cross, surrounded by finery, forced some thinking. What goods from that window are given to us by our celebration of Christmas? In the jumble of cultural things that we call Christmas, what do we take away and hold on to? Much of what we call Christmas is a ragtag collection of cultural accretion. There are good, pious, just-so stories for December 25th. Maybe one of them is even true. But the most likely reason is that the world already took that day off. The Roman Saturnalia and the celebration of Sol Invictus were close. But no, that wasn't syncretism by those early Christians. It was just good sense. Our Christmas trees came from Germany. Most Lutherans know the story of Martin himself introducing the practice. Martin and Katie and family had a tree, but it had originated earlier with certain pagans. To English speakers, it came rather late. Queen Victoria, with her German background, and her husband Albert, with his even more German background, brought it to England's Emerald Isle. The songs that we have been playing nonstop on 101.5 are mostly written from 1946 to 1960. It's a very short window compared to the hymns that we have sung tonight, which span from the 3rd century to the 20th. In our Thursday morning Bible study, we've been looking at some of these hymns. They span that incredible time frame, not because they were created once and frozen in amber, an exercise of nostalgia and marketing, but because they are connected. They are rooted in the mystery of the night, of the Father's love begotten. And they have grown and flowered and bloomed in different ways. What started in Greek or Latin and plain chant was reworked in German and chorales and translated and arranged into English. A wooden translation was picked up and reworked completely by a genius like Wesley. A better tune, sometimes attached along the way, or an old one recovered and made new by a Williams. Not just Wesley's and Williams, though, but also by folks who might as well have been named Smith, or Brown, or Anonymous. Those hymns are not owned or marketed, but they're our heritage. They're not nostalgia, but a living tradition. In our jumble of cultural things, can we hear the living ones? As any fan of comic books knows, it's all there in the origin story. The entire plant is in the seed. A good seed, as small as a mustard seed, can grow into the largest plant. Every Spider-Man story is about growing up and taking responsibility. Every Batman story is attempting to find or impose order out of the chaos of violence and orphanage. And every Superman story is about being from Kansas, but not really. In the Nativity of Christ, you've got the best origin story ever, the root of a living tradition. As C.S. Lewis would write, a myth made true. First, you don't have some demigod story or a manifestation of great power, but you have Emmanuel, God with us. This child is not God with us in some mystical, spiritual way, but flesh and blood. This is not God with us in a way where he pops in for the good and leaves for the bad. This is God and man, not two, but one Christ. One, not by the conversion of the deity into the flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God. One, not by the confusion of the substance, but by the unity of the person. As in that first Adam, we have all sinned and fallen short and been condemned. In this second Adam, we have been redeemed. And we have been redeemed not by anything we've done, but by the will of the Father, by the love of the Father. The Father who sent his only begotten Son for a world full of sinners. Far as the curse is found. You've got the best origin story ever because this mystery comes not to us through an alien intervention or through violence or mad science, but this mystery comes to us by a peasant girl who believed what was told her. Mary's was not a faith that was a blind leap. She knew the stories, Sarah and Hannah, and even her own Aunt Elizabeth. She knew the family tales of an heir for David. But by this time, hundreds of years later, that might be like you or me finding out we are related to Holy Roman Emperor Charles V, and expecting our coronation. She knew the story, but Mary asked, how will this be? It was a valid question, because unlike Sarah or Elizabeth, Mary was not yet married. And not that Gabriel explains it, but he proclaims it to her. The power of God will accomplish this by the Holy Spirit. And Mary believed it. This is how God comes to all of us. He comes to us in that proclamation. He comes to us in the Word. Come and behold Him, born the King of angels. From sin and death, He saves us and lightens every load. Look up, for golden is the hour. The Prince who was born to bring you peace is here. In Mary, we have our pattern and invitation. God wishes to work through you. Will you receive Him? Do you believe? Not in some jingle bell, but in the proclamation of the angels. You've got the best origin. Because not even obscured by Santas and melded with consumerism, the light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. There are daughters of Mary who receive it, and sons of John who witness to it. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. A word not of nostalgia or accumulation, but a word not of busier work, not even a word of order and responsibility, but a word of grace and truth. This child was born to raise the sons of earth, born to give us second birth. This light still shines in the darkness. The angels still proclaim it. The mystery still arrives. Tonight, right now, in the word you hear, which set of things do we hold on to? The grab bag of Christmas's past? Or the grace of Christmas present, the things now passing away, or the evermore and evermore. Amen.
Oh.
Lord, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace.